May 26, 2023, so off for Pedro Show.
Thank you.
for Pedro Show. Happy Saturday. No, it's Friday. Already blew a clam. Last week was 22nd year of Wild Pedro Show, and shows you that doing something a long time don't eliminate all the clams, people. Okay. And you can tell, probably, because there's a different kind of laughter accompanying me there. Those software engineers are stony with their Skype adventure, and I got Brother Davis. How you doing?
I'm doing all right, man. Thank you for having me.
Now, you were just on not too long ago with your compadres in the End of Hope.
Yes, with my guitar player, Ken Walrob.
Absolutely. And you know,
he's been a couple time guest of yours.
I think three or four.
Yeah. You guys getting pretty tight.
Yeah, waiting for five and six and so. You know, I forgot to mention after what we played to start off the show, Mr. PC, Jimmy Garrison on the bass solo. It's not the whole tune, people. It's 10 minutes. I only fit in the bass solo. This is March 2nd, 1963, live at Birdland. And then we had Time Waits for No Man. Reign of, now let's see if I get this right, Zaius?
Zaius.
Zaius, like, okay.
Dr. Zaius.
Per yeah, that's right, of course. Stupid one. Slow learner one. You know that, what was the one, remember they filmed one where it ends on a boat with a baby? Maybe the third one?
Yeah.
That was filmed in a shipyard in Pedro.
Really?
I wouldn't shit you, Davis.
Of course not, but no, I appreciate, that's good knowledge. Okay. I appreciate Planet of the Apes. That's obviously what, that band was kind of based off of.
And he was, like they were divided by, like, orangutan, gorilla, chimp.
Yep.
Right? And then that was when
the apes came back to the 1970s.
Okay, and, that's right. There was a time. They entered back into our time.
Right, right. That was the third one with Ricardo Montalban.
Right, that's right. The Corinthian leather man.
Yes, yes.
How could I
Fantasy
forget?
Island.
Yeah, right. What kind of M&Ms did Tattoo like?
What's that?
What kind of M&Ms did Tattoo like?
The plane.
You knew it. You fucking. I thought, stole my thunder. You know, stole my thunder.
You know what's funny is I thought you were referencing a tattoo, and I was like, how the hell did he know? I have a mural of the original Planet of the Apes movie on my back.
Oh.
I'll send you a photo sometime.
Okay, well, yeah. Same mass media kind of thing, except TV zone more than the movie zone. But, we're all referencing each other, cross-reference. Look, let's get to your journey through music. Can you bring us your earliest musical recollection?
Yeah, man. Like, I grew up, my parents, neither of them were musical, but both listened to music. My dad was into old country, traditional country.
Yeah.
And my mom was the, the early rock and roll generation.
Okay.
And so she was into the Beatles. She was into all the old, what I grew up as called the oldies and stuff like that.
Sure. The same here.
Yeah. And so there's always music on in my house.
Well, in your pad there, was there instruments or was it just like listening to records and radio?
No. Yeah. No, it was listening to the records. My first recollection of actually listening to a record myself is Ventures Out of Space.
Oh, yeah.
That record, oh, my God, that record scared me, but I loved it.
How did you get turned on to it?
It was in my dad's collection of records.
Thanks, Pop.
Yeah, and that's, I guess.
Because you said your mom was the rock and roller, and your pop was more of the country.
Yeah.
But that just shows to go you that genre names are stupid. Music's music, so why couldn't
you
like
country? Exactly. But,
Now, you want to know how stupid we were. Me and D. Boone thought they were actually called the Venturis.
Oh, nice.
We heard about this band called the Ventures, but...
But they were definitely a huge influence on me, like, musically.
And what about at school? Were you in the marching band or choir, shit like that?
No, man, no. When I was in junior high, I had an opportunity to take lessons. My older brother, who got me into punk, who got me into you and Minutemen and all that, like, he met you a few times.
Where?
Rest in peace, though. You know, this was my brother back in the day. He saw you back in Providence in the 80s.
Oh, Living Room.
No. You guys actually, well, he did see you at the Living Room, yes.
Yeah, because it was it was this guy and his ma ran the place. He would cook your chicken.
Yeah, that place was great. The Living Room's where I grew up.
I think he was run over. I think Wes Heim was his name, and he got run over on a bicycle.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, me either. But there's a famous.
I lost track of that scene years ago.
It was by a Samsonite luggage company factory downtown.
Yeah, it had the fisheye, the Living Room.
That's
had
right,
the
big bubble kind of window.
That big fisheye, bowl window. Yeah,
absolutely.
And they did all ages shows there all
that's
the time.
Right, that's right. That's right.
So when I was 15, my brother was going to see shows, and then he, you know, when I got to tag along to one show, and the first show that I saw was The Descendants.
Whoa.
On the I don't want to grow up tour.
Yeah. Okay, that's the second album. Yeah. We put out the first three albums.
Yeah.
Mine Goes to College, I Don't Want to Grow Up, and Enjoy.
Yeah, those are my favorite. Those are my favorite.
Okay. So what was your first gig?
They were magic for me. My first gig,
that you witnessed, not played, but saw.
All right. First show I saw was Molly Hatchet and Triumph.
Triumph. They were like the Canadian ELP.
They were like the Wish version of Rush.
That's it.
No disrespect to Rick Emmett.
Of course.
Those guys were great. They were a fantastic band. Another Canadian three-piece that rocked.
I'm curious, how did you get on the bass?
I play keyboard. Well, first, my first experience with music school is when my brother was playing Spanish guitar. I took accordion lessons.
Whoa. Your choice?
And, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because I was a goofball. I was the smallest kid in my class. I was like super undersized. I wrestled in my freshman year and I was like 5 pounds under the lowest weight class. I was like the littlest kid and I was like trying to hit the biggest kid, like prison style. Like, you know, I played football and I was like getting knocked out cold every practice. Like,
you know, I was reading Rakim's biography. He wanted to be a football player. He's so little.
but I thought I had something to prove.
Sure.
I joined the army right out of high school.
Okay.
I went into the army when I was 17 because I didn't have any other options. It was either I was going to
no. I had a couple buddies who did that. You know who that happened to was Ted Falcone, the Flipper guitar man. He's 17 years old.
Oh,
he went
to
Vietnam
right.
twice because he would have been homeless. He told me, and this is like late 60s.
Yeah, this was in the late 80s. My father told me, like, as soon as I'm 18, I'm out of the house. I tried to go to college. I wanted to go to college. He laughed at me. He told me, who's paying for that? You know, that's the typical what turns us to punk rock, right? Like,
be careful. That price of that venture, that price of the ventures record was the Incredible Wisdom of
I know, but like there was so much other stuff that was.
That's right. Look, life is it's a mixed bag, right?
And here we are. Yeah, and here we are. Right. You know, and so like I'm making up for lost time. I'm trying to do what I can now. But yeah, I played my first show. I played on keyboards.
Okay.
So
you went from accordion to keyboard.
Yeah, my friend and I. My friend Event was a bass player. He was, and I was trying to play guitar, and we were trying to do like a Ventures surf rock band. We were starting to do like we were doing a Walk Don't Run, Apache, you know, a couple other tunes that I was able to learn on guitar. But then, I moved into a new apartment. I had a second bedroom and I built a little lounge. This was kind of like the early 90s when the lounge scene was kind of like starting to poke its head out. So I built a bar, and I was a bartender, so I had a little after-hours speakeasy at my house.
Yeah.
A friend of mine gave me a drum kit. Another friend of mine brought over a Lowry Teeny Genie organ.
Yeah.
And I started playing the Teeny Genie. I started playing the organ. And my brother was playing guitar. We started doing Caravan. We started doing a couple other tunes, and we're just like – all doing it by ear, just fucking around. And I was having late night jams every night. My upstairs neighbors were heroin addicts, and my next door neighbors were crack addicts.
Oh, Christ.
Oh, that was like a whole crack. It was like a halfway house. That was a crack house next door. This was like the rise of the whole crack generation, too.
Right, not too healthy.
And so I could do whatever the fuck I wanted.
Sure.
So nobody's calling
the
cops.
That's one good point.
Yeah. And so I'm having these, like, I would close the bar, go back to my house, and, like, I would serve drinks for donations, and we would have these late night jams at my house until like 4 or 5 in the morning.
Whoa.
And we were weeding out the dudes that could play. Or not weeding them out, but like the dudes that could play, and like our friends would start showing up on days that we weren't like super drunk at night. We would meet together in the afternoons and start putting together. And like all of a sudden we had a six song set. We're like all instrumental. Then.
Do you give this band a name?
Yeah, I'll get to that in a sec.
Okay.
But then,
sorry.
The band that we had with the six songs, we had keyboards, guitar, but my brother had dropped out. We got another guitar player, which you may know him, I'm not sure, but we had a guitar player, drummer, bass, and I was playing keys, and then I had another friend that was playing percussion. Just doing like shakers and theremin and things like that.
Sure.
And then one of my friends came over, heard it, and he goes, "Hey, we had tried out some horn players and stuff, but it's just none of it was working." And one of my friends was like, "Hey, I play sax. Can I come over?" And we're like, "Yeah." And he came over and he had a baritone.
Whoa, Barry.
And he became kind of our front man, ringmaster, and we made our show kind of like a circus show almost. Yes. It was the first song that we wrote. I was at an Indian food restaurant, all you can eat. Ate like 10 gulab jamuns at the end of the thing because it was all you can eat. There was a whole tray of gulab
belly
jam,
up to the trough,
you know, which is nobody knows. That's like a sweet custard ball that's fried and soaked in rose water and honey sugar syrup. Delicious. I ate like 10 of those. I was so high on sugar, listening to like Indian music, traditional Indian music in the background. I went home and I just wrote this song on the Lowry, on this Teeny Genie, which had a secret function. It had a foot pedal. And if you push the foot pedal down and you push your foot to the left, there's a pitch shifter.
Oh.
And I was able to do these really weird Middle Eastern songs.
Yeah.
And, or like make this really weird Middle Eastern sound. And so I wrote a song based on that. And then my friend came over and I was like, "Hey, I wrote this song. It's called Gulab Jamun." And my friend was like, "That's our band name."
Okay.
And so that was it. And we ended up made a sign, like Kiss, the big, like 16x4 or 4x8 sign. With
light bulbs
in it. Yeah.
We saw Kiss when their sign was the light bulbs. It was so little. They opened for anyone. We saw them with Wishbone Ash and Savoy Brown and the five-man James Gang with Tommy Bolin. Why didn't you give me any of this music? Did you guys ever record?
So I was trying to get it in. We actually just got the tapes within the last 2 months. I played a show with End of Hope up in Connecticut, and my friend whose studio we recorded at back then, we did like five or six songs. He had the tapes but didn't have one of the kind of recorder. I can't remember the recorder he used.
Yeah.
He used an old 8-track recorder.
Yeah.
He hadn't had a recorder for years, and this year he found one.
Great.
And bought it. And my old guitar player who, you know, his name's Andy Stackpole. He's a sound engineer. He's, like, really amazing dude. He's played, like, I grew up with him.
Yeah.
He worked with Bad Brains for, like, 25 years.
Whoa.
He's worked with people like Snoop. He works for Wiz Khalifa right now.
Whoa.
You know, so he's like the guy.
Yeah.
So he's got the tapes right now. He's been able to get all the tracks except some of the keyboard tracks are a little bit deteriorated.
Which are your tracks?
Track on the tape. Exactly. And they were but he said he's got it. He thinks he has enough to work with, and he's been doing that. But it's also the summer and kickoff of touring. He's going out doing a lot of. He's been out with Wiz a lot. So
no wine before it's time, right? But
so that's my segue into you're gonna have to have me on again.
Yeah, absolutely. The invite's out right now. Let me play some music before we run out of time in this first hour, because you got some more Raina Zayas we gotta hear. Some Delta City Blues.
Stone Roland's Desperation.
They threw me overboard. I sunk fathom far. Bones crushed by pressure. Now I made a voice. They sailed on over shark, over whale. As my skull came to rest inside a treasure chest. Oh, Locoon, she lives in the ocean depths. Oh, Locoon, where blue turns to black. Oh, Locoon, he swims among the dead. Oh, Locoon, where there's no holding back. I cry for my children, I cry for my dreams. I cry to the ancestors, my tears flood my stream. Where is my home? Where is my flesh? Is a watery grave the best I can expect? Oh, Locoon, he rages in the cold. She foretells the secrets only to the bold. Oh, Locoon, stores all of the gold in the skulls of the slaves. Couldn't be sold. If you do one thing, come listen to me. At the edge of the sea, and hear me sing. Let it all.
and the guitarist, we all still get together at time to time up at the bass player's house up in northeastern Connecticut.
Okay.
So the bass player's brother has been sitting in on drums with us because the other drummer.
What am I thinking? Northeast Connecticut Stores? Is the school there?
Yeah, UConn. UConn's up there.
Okay. Let's tell the people what they heard. Raina Zayas with Delta City Blues started that chunk off. Then a cat lives in New Haven, Connecticut. Great bass man, Doug Wimbush.
Yeah, I know Doug. Actually, you know what? Andy works for Living Color for a long time.
That's right. And Mark Stewart of the pop group.
I met Doug through Andy. Andy produced the album that came out in 2004.
Doug Wimbush, incredible. He could have been in the Rolling Stones.
Yeah. Oh man, he played with Nick.
Wow. He also he a long
some,
time
he
was
he played the, on mixed solo stuff. He played on some Madonna solo
that's
stuff.
That's right. He was on a mixed solo album.
Legendary.
But Sugar Hill Gang with Keith LeBlanc and Skip McDonald. Then we heard Steve Dawson, The Crash Escape, Maxine Funke, Oblivion, Soul Carlos out of France, Sunny Day, Olakun out of I think Canada, Crossing to Safety. And then one more from Raina Zayas. Fine, then. It's a great title. It's like, that's what you come back with, right? Fine, then.
Yep. Have your say. Back to Doug Wimbush, the Tackhead stuff. Yes. That stuff was great.
Oh, Adrian Sherwood.
That was. Yeah, man.
Right. Much respect.
But yeah, that stuff was great. I was Andy was doing sound for them back then, my friend. Andy Zekel, wow. And I was going to school for television production, and I was doing video work for Living Color back then.
Okay.
Like
I got to play with them.
Live shows
when
stuff.
I played with them, the bass man was named Muggs or Miggs or something.
Yeah, Muggs Skelly. He was the original bass player.
This was in upstate. The veterinarian school here in Cali, Davis, UC Davis. He did pass. Yeah. He was good. Everybody in that band could play like a motherfucker. Well, Vernon, you know, he knows how to put together a band.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. He's an amazing guy, yeah.
So, in your timeline here,
what?
You got your – it's kind of a prac pad, but it's also a hangout place. It's a kind of studio. It's the other room in your bed.
Yeah.
So what develops? What evolves?
So we started playing. We played outside at a friend of ours has like an outdoor lodge, and he was putting together a show. And we opened that up with our six songs. And at the time, our drummer was on disability and didn't want. He worked for the state of Connecticut, and he needed to get back surgery, and he didn't want to get noticed. So we put on a fake mustache and an Afro wig, and so we all started dressing in outfits from This is 94 or 95, I think. And we started putting on wigs, and we started going to Goodwill and buying stuff. We found white tuxedos. And the cool thing about this band was that every stage show, it was like, if you had an idea, nobody said no.
Okay.
So it was like, hey, man, I want to have a pile of eyeballs on stage. Okay, we go to Oriental Trading Company, get a bunch of eyeball balloons, and have a pile. Hey, man, I want to bring this reading lamp and have an Elvis bust on top of my keyboard. Yeah, okay. And we all brought our own lamps on stage, and it was just whatever you wanted to bring. If you're just responsible for bringing your shit on stage, make sure it works.
Yeah, that's the rule, right? No failure.
Yep. And in that band, that's where I learned my chops. That's where I learned how to, like, not stop.
What, the left
mistake,
hand. Also,
really.
Also, the left hand's got some bass going. Look,
right.
we're going to have to pause.
Well,
I got to hit the pause button because we're out of time. First hour. Brother Davis.
Oh, wow. Cool.
May 26, 2023, Dish Wap Pedro Show. Special guest, Davis Schlachter. Did I pronounce that right?
Very close.
Okay. Hold tight for hour two. May 26, 2023. It's the second hour of the Watch for Pedro Show. Watt for Pedro show. Start off the second hour. Reign of Zeus with Deliver Me. Hot out of Texas with When the Chaotically Inert Transcends into Van. Is that a title? Okay, Laszlo and the Hidden Strength with Who's the Market? Electric Blue Super Infinite out of Brighton, England with Management Meat. No, it's Electric Blue Super Infinite Transmissions, people. Don't cut them short. What? No shorts. Clothesline. Ah! That's another prodge. Sleepless Night. So, now, eventually you get to the bass guitar.
Yeah. So I played Angle Up John, and that was about 6 years or so, and we were mostly a live band. It was really showy. We, you know, like I said, we all wore tuxedos. I actually had, if you notice, my username is Crazy Robot Man. Yeah. That was one of my characters.
Oh,
one day I said, hey, would you guys mind if I played out as a robot? Nobody said, nobody objected.
Okay.
Oh, also one of our practice rituals is we would always buy a bottle of Thunderbird for practice and pass it around the room and drink a bottle of Thunderbird, and that's how we wrote our song. So.
People, this is wine that's not fermented. They just put grain alcohol in some kind of, sometimes it's bright green or bright orange. It gets you fucked up. And it's econo.
Oh, very econo, man. We, you know, and I was living, the town that I was in was Norwich, Connecticut. It's an old mill town that, you know, like, I was living downtown. The liquor store has the plexiglass.
Oh,
know,
yeah.
Kinda.
I'm in SoCal here, we know. And so your songwriting was fueled by Thunderbird. That's the word.
That's right.
Okay.
What's the prize, Biddy, twice.
But you said 6 years. So it does, the arc, but you still hang out with these cats and stuff, but this kind
yeah,
of.
Yeah, I do.
But eventually you moved to the bass.
So
what made the move to the bass?
So, our bass player moved to New York. And that kind of just dissolved the band. Just myself and the bass player were like the primary songwriters. And when he moved, it kind of, we just wasn't the same.
Yeah. It happens. What do you say? Run its course.
Yeah, exactly. For its time, it had, yeah. And the sax player had left. He had moved to the city.
Whoa, I thought he was the ringleader.
Well, he was our front man on stage.
Yeah.
And he did a lot of the artwork for us. He did a lot of the, like, he put out a comic. Just kind of like for, like, almost like a newsletter that we would send to our mailing lists and stuff.
That's great. So what evolves?
So he moved to the city, and the bass player moved to the city. I took a break from music. I didn't play for a while. I was drinking heavily. I was renting my mother's family house, and my father decided to sell it and finally got his chance to kick me out of the house. And so, circle back to that story, but no.
Yeah.
I ended up, the bass player was moving back to Connecticut, had this apartment in Brooklyn that we would come in and use every once in a while. And I was like looking for apartments in the town that I was in, and there was the same price as the studio in Brooklyn. I was like, I'm out of here. And I moved to New York, and I've been here 19 years. Well, yeah, about 20 years now.
And how long were you in New York City before you got a bass?
I had a bass.
Oh, you already had one.
I had one because, you know, when you have a practice bass, you accumulate all kinds of stuff.
That's right. Shit magnet.
Right, exactly. And so I had all kinds of practice stamps and all kinds of shit jammed into a studio apartment.
Right.
And
crimey.
And my old sax player started coming over.
Yeah, because you're both in the same town again.
Yeah, and we started playing out. We were both playing guitar, and we were trying to start a, like, 2X rock band, right? Like, trying to start this, like, Iron Maiden / Thin Lizzy kind of shred metal. And we just couldn't find a bass player. And then the most horrible thing happened. Right before I got married, my brother passed away.
Oh.
And my brother was a bass player.
Yeah.
He played in a band called Motherfucker out of Denver.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, like I said, he met you a few times. I have like his old fire hose records that have your signatures and stuff.
Okay.
And like,
yeah, late 80s.
He was. Early yeah, 90s. Man. But like I said, he was a huge fan of yours. He was like emulated, like you know, you're playing. I have all his records. I have all your old Minutemen.
Watt used
stuff,
to break a lot of strings in those days.
Yeah, man.
I used to break a lot of strings. I didn't mean to, but I played like a thug, so I hope that didn't rub off on him too much.
Oh, no, man. You know, and yeah, I'm not going to bring this down. This is for another day. This is about me today.
Okay. But he inspired you to get on bass.
But yeah, so when I went out to Colorado, after he passed, to kind of seal up, you know, close up his open ends, you know.
Yeah.
I had to go to his house and put shit in storage and I couldn't find his bass. So I had to go on a hunt. I found it. One of his bandmate said, no, he was crashing on this dude's couch over here, and I went over this dude. He said, no, I think last time he jammed over at this guy's house. I went to like five different people's houses and I finally found his bass.
Damn.
And when it was a 79 fretless.
Oh, wow.
T-bass.
Okay.
And it's this crazy, like, in the late 70s, Fender put out, like, a lot of really weird Frankenstein bass.
Oh, I know, like, that. They just got
they
parts
doing
together.
Some really
right.
wacky stuff. So they put out this one with two sets of P pickups.
Whoa.
So it's double stack P.
Okay.
And it's fretless.
It probably weighs a ton.
Oh, God, yes. It's wood grain. It's ash. It's like, it's like, I think it's 18 or 20 pounds. So I found it, no case, and yeah. I got it, and I brought it back to New York. I, you know, boxed it up and had it shipped back and got it here and got it all tuned up and everything. And I started playing on it and got two bands together.
Whoa.
I was playing with the Sax Man. We were starting a metal band called Murica.
Okay.
M-U-R-I-C-A.
Sure, sure. Perfect.
During the W times.
I understand.
I ran into a guy in Jersey. This is the weirdest thing. I ran into this dude in Jersey.
Yeah.
My old bass player, when he was in New York, started a band with some guy from Jersey. Brought him back to my friend Andy's studio and recorded a song with this guy on vocals for like a movie trailer that never went anywhere. It was like some movie that was supposed to star Keith David.
Whoa.
I saw the whole trailer and everything. It was called Hung Up, and it was supposed to be about this guy that always talks to his mom on the phone, but there's nobody on the other end. And he like kind of – and so we wrote a song for it. It was supposed to be like, Hello, I Love You. But
oh, I just called to say, yeah, with Lionel Richie, right?
No, The Doors.
Oh, Doors, hello, I Love You. Yeah, yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
I just called to say I love you. That's what I'm thinking of.
That's the one you're thinking of, right?
Yeah.
Yours
is dang, 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 dang,
dang, dang, dang, dang, dang, dang. So they wanted something like that, really choppy on keys.
Right,
and I'm like, haha, that's my specialty. choppy on it, like. Sloppy keys?
Yeah, but with that choppy chop, let's get to this chunk of music because we're running out of time. Brother Davis, we'll continue. Don't worry. This is a beautiful story.
I'm You, for what you are now,
for Pedro show. We're at the end of the second hour, but let me tell you, you heard Clothesline doing I See You. Electro Capra with Breaking Empire. Cape Cod Cottage for Brendan Etter Ensemble. There's Beauty and Darkness, Bombas Prend in 2022 from Audrey Gurdjieff. And finally, Clothesline again with I Want to Know. Special guest, David Schlachter. Closer?
Yeah.
Okay, 5-3.
I think you're net.
May 26, 2023. It's the third hour of the Watch for Pedro show.
Thank you. Thank you.
It's deja vu all over again, people. Start off the third hour. No Faith, Clothesline, Transverse Dust from Galea, Shiroshi, Sakura, Skrawasowski. I don't want to fuck that up. Too bad. Vedman, Zappa, 2019-27, Svetlana Maris, Diane Marie Global with Focus, and a Hope, Seed and Decision. Take it, Brother Davis.
All right. So, yeah, we were asked, you know, this guy that was in a band, Matt, with my bass player, he asked us to do this song. We produced the song, wrote it, everything at an Andy studio, and then it went nowhere. Ed moved back, that band broke up, and I just ran into that guy, Matt, one day in the Lowe's. And my wife didn't know him. My wife and I are just walking through the Lowe's, and we're just in the middle of Jersey, like Bergen County. And I said, I know that guy. And she goes, no, you don't. We're in the middle of Jersey. You don't know this guy. And I'm like, yeah, I do. Watch this. And I called his name, and he turns around, and we started a band.
Oh, fuck. What are the odds of that?
And so we recorded at my friend Andy's. I lost those recordings. I have to find those somewhere. But that band was called Cola Dare.
Okay.
And the guitar player from that band and my sax player, the band Murica, my guitar player from Cola Dare joined Murica.
Yeah.
And that evolved into Reign of Zeus.
Okay. Okay. Now I
see. So the band Murica was my sax player. It was his idea. That was like his name. Like he right. came up with that, and it was his idea. And then he started having a family and kind of backed out of the music scene and more into going to school, to career path, and et cetera, et cetera. And so we were just about to put out a couple of that one song, Find That, is on a EP that we recorded back in 2011. And that, yeah, and so that one we recorded, and then the singer left, and you know, I've been sitting on the recordings for the last 12 years because he didn't want me to ever use them, but I'm like, changed my mind.
Okay, so did you guys?
So if you get a cease and desist, that's my fault.
Yeah, that's okay. I'll defend your honor. Now, did this band tour?
We did the Northeast, you know. We did
New England.
Yeah, New England. We did the Jersey, the Philly.
Yeah.
You know, we played up in Boston. We Boston a bunch of times, Connecticut all the time.
And then this clothesline.
Yeah, so Reign of Zeus was a rotating class. Cast of characters, and then in
you were the core. Who else was the core?
Me.
Just
I'm
you.
The only,
okay,
I'm
okay.
The only.
You're the maypole.
Yeah, I'm the only one that's on every record, on all the recordings. Yeah, so I start from beginning to end. Recently, I've gotten together with the original guitar player and drummer.
That's like the Dave Brock of Hawkwind.
right. Yeah, I'm the only original, right? Like, the OG.
The OG. But
so while that was going on in 2018, like around then, it got really busy because Ken hit me up, wanted to do something.
I'm interested in that. How did you run into him?
He was in Eternal Black, and Reign of Zeus and Eternal Black used to play together. We were like,
you shared the shade stage.
We played shows a lot together in local. So we, you know, when any doom or metal shows would come in, it would be us two. You know, we would be the openers, then Ken, then whoever from out of town coming in, right? Or we would bookend.
I'm a little curious because Ken told me about that scene. He said it was pretty interesting. This kind of a what would you call it? Doom. What was the
venue? Yeah.
You know what? I'm curious, Doug Davis. What were the venues?
Yeah.
What were the venues in this day?
So I was booking a lot of shows back then. Back then I was booking at Hank's Saloon.
Hank's Saloon.
It's on Atlantic and Third in Brooklyn.
Sure.
I would. I was doing show. I was setting up shows at Matchless in Williamsburg.
Matchless.
Right on McCarran Park.
Yeah.
I was setting up. I was doing Metal Monday nights at the Grand Victory.
Okay. Grand Victory.
Yeah, and then I was also working with the guy Walter that did Trash Bar.
Okay, Trash Bar.
So all and that was in Williamsburg as well. So
because
like,
I forgot to ask him. I forgot to ask him exactly where the scene kind of existed. You know. Okay.
Yeah, there was a lot of that, and then you know there were like at Arlene's Grocery had a couple shows here and there. We would play Bowery Electric here and there, you know. But what a lot of it was those Hank's Saloon was for me, and that's where I was putting up a lot of stuff because when I was first doing shows there, I started when I first moved to New York. I was hanging out at Hank's a lot because they had Sunday night honky tonks.
Yeah.
With a Weber grill out on the fucking sidewalk of Atlantic Avenue when they were at three hot dogs and hamburgers.
Yeah. I'll get them.
and never cover, right? So it was right. Just super dive bar, cement floor, all painted black. Like, just, they had to move the pool tables, you know, like the, it was like the Blues Brothers, you know, Blues Brothers, good old country, like that kind of vibe, right? Hank on the jukebox and flames on the outside of the building. I started putting on shows there. I started doing guitar barbecues.
Okay. And that's where you meet Ken, and then Ken drafts you into his band. But at the same time, what, Clothesline develops?
Yeah. So my good friend, the guy that did the Planet of the Apes tattoo on my back, moved from Connecticut. He moved from Connecticut to Jersey, and he had a project that he had some stuff that him and his brother had recorded. And he asked me if I wanted to kind of revive that stuff, and I was like, yeah, for sure. And we started doing it, and I brought in the drummer for Zayas, and we couldn't get any of that stuff recorded, so we just started writing new stuff and just went in a different direction, and that's where Clothesline started out. It was the drummer for Zayas, me, and the guitar player.
So a power trio.
Yeah, and we were trying, me and the guitar player Jake were trying to sing. And I was not, you know, it just was, we realized we needed a singer. That's where I'm going.
Okay.
We would be better suited with a standalone singer or someone who can play rhythm guitar or something like that.
In the name of the band, is it from the football move?
Yeah, the cross, well, wrestling, the cross arm
close. Oh, yeah, that too, also wrestling, right.
Yep.
For listeners out there that might be out of the country, don't know U.S. Sports so much. Yeah, you just hold your arm out straight and you knock fucking people over like bowling pins. That's what came to my mind, Brother Dave. As soon as I read that, it was like, I know what kind. You ain't talking about hanging up the Levi's in the flannel.
No, sir.
Okay, what was the first Clothesline gig? Did you actually try some gigs as a trio before you went for another cat?
No. We decided to get the singer early on. Once we had like three or four solid song ideas, and Jake, right, the guitar player, writes a lot of the lyrics and stuff for the singer. So Brain of Zayas, like I said, was a result for like 12 years was a revolving cast of characters, and we went through singers, like Spinal Tap went to drummers. there's a different singer on each one of those recordings.
It kind of sounds that way.
So the last guy, he had sent me a recording and said he was interested before. But I got the email after we had already agreed to this one cat.
Yeah.
And so we brought this one cat on, the guy that did the Delta City song.
Yeah.
Renee. We brought him on as the singer. And then since we needed a singer from Clothesline, I was like, wait, I got this cat in my back pocket. And I called this other guy, John, and he came to Clothesline.
Okay. To the rescue.
And he did one of the Zaya songs too. He did the which one did he do?
Probably Later Stages.
Time Waits for No Man.
Okay.
Time Waits for No Man. That one.
Well, that's the one we started the show off with.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to play a song here, End of Hope. Nobody cares about your band. I think I played this one when Ken was on.
You did. You did.
But it's so good. Let's have round two. Watch for Pedro Show. Last music for this edition. Started that chunk off with End of Hope with Nobody Cares About Your Man. Gary Lee Conner from The Screaming Trees. This is the solo stuff. Truth Eater. Erica Dawn Lyle. She's on her solo guitar there. And then End of Hope. Behavioral Modification. So, now, Clothesline, how long ago was the first gig?
2018, we played our first gig. Yeah, 2018, 2019.
So 5 years with a little pause there because of the situation. And so is the, the ongoing concern right now, Clothesline?
Right now, End of Hope is my, you know, we have the new record out.
Right, right.
I'm also working on another project with Ken. That we call Northern Heretic.
That's interesting. With End of Hope, because I always thought it was all Ken's material, so you contribute a lot of that.
Yeah, actually, the song that you played, the Seed and Decision, is a bass line I sent to Ken, and then he, you know, worked it with his guitar and sent it back, and we do some of that sometimes. Songs on each record.
And with Clothesline, who does most of the material with that? Or is it another collaboration?
Some of the songs are just organic, but then most of it is Jake, the guitar player.
Oh, yeah, you said he writes a lot of the lyrics, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. And what, like you said, Ken sent you. So is there a lot of people make each other demos or just riff ideas or maybe voice memo thing? What's your composition?
A little column A, column B, but the pandemic really, really transformed the way that we work. And Ken and I realized that we work in similar ways.
Yeah.
In similar formats and similar, like, we get each other's styles and, you know, kind of. So when Ken was on one time, you played some of the Swarm of Fly stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Maybe that's what he was like. Yeah, writing. He was also writing books.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And because he was home, you know, we were all home. And you know, I'd be remiss if I didn't say this. I had a pretty severe mental break in 2020. I went out, you know, I left my job on disability. I broke down. I was diagnosed with PTSD, and I've been getting help. And I've been in, like, psychological programs to get myself back to, like, a place where I even can talk to you. You know what I mean? I was like,
sure. Can I ask you if music helps?
Absolutely. And that's one of the things that, you know, I was going to say is that Ken, with the Swarm of Flies thing and with us writing our second album, for End of Hope, the pushback is strong. Writing that album, we wrote half of that remotely.
Okay.
And, you know, so he helped me a lot. And, you know, and having Davey Gunner, he was a big support for me during the pandemic. We would meet and, like, work on lyrics and do stuff together. And, like, I did a lot of background vocals with Davey. And, you know, on our two albums, I do all the backing vocals on the End of Hope stuff.
Michael Anthony.
And,
you know, people always making fun of that guy, right? But I think he was fucking key money for fucking Van Halen.
Dude had a golden voice. Because he always hit.
You need to talk about your poppin' country. Buck Owens had the same thing. He had a cat who would come in with that high part for the chorus. I got a tiger by the tail. Yeah, yeah, it's a good trick, man.
Yeah, I love that song.
Good technique. So I asked you about that because I have some tough times too, and it seems like music is a fucking lifeline.
It is. It's what, you know, and I actually, during the pandemic, you know, while I was on disability, and I'm still on disability, I'm still working through a lot of things. I do trauma therapy and executive functioning and all kinds of, like, different kinds of things to get myself, you know, at least back to a baseline, you know. Yeah. But, music is, I upgraded, I actually, like, got Logic instead of using GarageBand. I upgraded my interface. I got keyboards. I bought, like, got a synthesizer and stuff. And I'm getting myself back into, like, immersing myself into music.
Is there, like,
just
because
it is my happy place.
Is there, like, a Man Alone, David Schlechter Proj?
I have a studio in Brooklyn, a rehearsal studio that I just signed another year lease on, and I haven't had it set up to record, just because I didn't have the time and things, but now I do, and I'm gonna set that all up and start putting something together.
Because a lot of cats I have on that get into the electronic music, it seems it kind of, yeah, you don't need as much like the old idea of a bass drum, and even though, come on, I'm prejudiced, especially towards bass, but to me, music's anything that gets shoved into the fucking ear hole, right? So the way you make it, you know, whatever your means, right? You make use of what,
right?
It's all vocabulary.
And I mean, I think what I want to do like the that first solo McCartney album where everything himself.
I remember that one.
Yeah, I want to do something like that where it's just me. I go in, I record the drums, even if I just patch.
Can you play drums?
No, I can hold a basic beat.
Because I heard that was a technique that Dave Grohl used, Prince used, Stevie Wonder used. They start with the drums.
Right, that's what I need to do, because that's what we do in the studio every time, is you always start with the drums.
Okay.
So I know when I'm more productive at home is when I lay down like a canned beat or something like that. That's when I can write better.
Sure, sure. Music's got so much.
Even just a click behind me.
Uh-huh, yeah, sure. Because music, that's a huge component. I think, you know, I'm reading all these books on John Coltrane, like three components is rhythm, harmony, and melody. But especially rock and roll, come on, so much of it is rhythm.
Yeah, yeah, and that's what, you know, working with the drummer from End of Hope, Dave Richmond, he's amazing. Like, he's been a fill-in drummer for the band Led Zeppelin.
Yeah.
So
he's a John Bonham student.
Oh, God, yeah. Actually, they asked him to play. The agent for Led Zeppelin called him up and said, hey, they're going to do Physical Graffiti in Pittsburgh. Can you do that? And he's like, yeah, I'll do that tomorrow.
Fuck.
Like front to back. He'll play. He did heavy metal karaoke, heavy metal and punk rock karaoke at Arlen's Grocery for like 15 or 20 years.
Okay, some cats got the technique.
dude, he can play any rock song, any punk song. Like, he's so much flavor.
That's fucking happening. To have cats like that where you can just give them the tap-tap and they can bring. Fucking bitching.
Yeah, you know, and I've learned so much. I've learned so much, like, especially to, like, really listen.
Yeah, yeah. So, what's going on right now, then, is stuff with Ken. This Man Alone stuff with the new equipment. And also, Clothesline's still an ongoing thing, right?
Clothesline, we're a little sleepy.
Okay.
For the recordings, we have the drummer from End of Hope. He sat in, because during the pandemic, Zayas, everybody moved out of the city.
Sure.
Drummer moved to Boston. One of the guitar players moved to Austin, Texas.
I'm going to play with drummer from Austin next week. Thor Harris. He's going to come to Pedro next week, and he's got these dub projects.
Oh, no, wait, my bad. He went to Houston. Wrong, the wrong, not the right, not the cool town.
But you know what? There's Lightning Hopkins was from Houston. Fucking Billy Gibbons.
Yeah, yeah, Houston has some cool
stuff. Yeah, there's
some good cool
people. Good people from everywhere, right? So also
absolutely.
Some dicks.
Absolutely.
Some dicks, too. It's the way that life is. It distributes. Okay. Well, look.
Well, yeah, we're hoping to get that stuff going, you know. At least me and Jake are going
to... Yeah, I said I'm looking forward to this, you know, to see what happens. Because, you know, things evolve, and when you bring in the different flavors, or different people, it's the different flavors.
Exactly. And I like mixing and matching, you know.
So, look, then next time you're on, we got that old stuff that you found, recovered,
yep.
And then we got this new stuff. I can't wait.
Yeah, man, I got more stuff. I love to create, man.
He's bitching. Beautiful. Beautiful. Such an honor to have you on. truly, and can't wait to have you back. We keep on keeping on, right, Brother Davis?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And thank you so much for having me on and let me talk my mind, you know.
No, it's good. It's inspiring for me, okay? I'm going to do a benefit tonight for, who's that cat who played guitar in Neil in Royal Trucks? Bad situation.
Yeah,
so we're going to try to get some bones up for him so he can get some help. And cool. And by the way, in Denver, isn't that a trip?
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. So anyway,
if any of the old motherfucker fans are there, hey, Fred's with you guys.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I'm going to do it here in SoCal, but this is where Neil is right now. So look,
right on.
I can't wait to have you back on. Thank you for so much for making time for me today.
Thanks, Mike. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely, absolutely.
You're
great. Keep on keeping on. People, it's been May 26, 2023 edition of WAP Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.